In Iowa, it was almost always my own responsibility to read the scriptures. So I didn't really expect such a long reading to be someone else's. Charlie should sit down and take a rest now. It is a very common greeting. You've heard it already a few times today. Again, I certainly wish you happy Father's Day. It is the tradition of our land to have a day set aside to honor fathers, and we had one last month to honor mothers as well. These are good traditions. I remember when my children were young, maybe your children think this too, they often suggested we should have a kids' day because of our tradition, I suppose, of giving gifts. And they always like to get gifts. Sorry, kids, no kids' day yet. Although we should maybe look into having a holiday of sorts for Family Day, especially in this time. It seems like families are under attack more and more, and it takes more and more strength and grace to keep our families together, to keep our priorities straight, to do what is right, sometimes in the face of difficulty. But this is Father's Day, and I wonder if we really truly mean it when we say Happy Father's Day to our dads. Now, my dad has passed away almost 15 years. I know that he's happy where he is. But do we always do what it takes to make our fathers happy? Do we think about it all that often? I have to confess, there were times in my life, kind of long seasons sometimes, where I didn't pay attention at all to what would make my dad happy. And there was even times where I did things I knew would make him unhappy. I didn't go tell him, although he found out. He knew everything. We are going to look at, as Brother Charlie has read for us, several examples and think about the idea of what makes fathers happy. How do you be as a father? I hope you will find the answer to the question, how do I be happy? Everybody said Happy Father's Day to me. How do I really, really be happy besides hearing that from them? We're going to see what happy fathers and what makes happy fathers. There are literally hundreds of stories, but our scripture lesson today, this long reading Brother Charlie did let us in, is quite possibly the best summary of biblical figures. In effect, we have summarized hundreds of pages of the Old Testament and even some stories in the New Testament. What makes happy fathers? Scripture records suggest Abel apparently never became a father, as his brother cut his life short. First murder on earth. We can only speculate he would have been a good father. We're not out of line to say that, as God commended him as a righteous man. Some of you who are not fathers, some of you who may not ever be fathers, as we've sung earlier, we can be men of God, whether or not we're fathers. Very important. And so Abel is an interesting example of that. Men of God who didn't become fathers. Enoch's story is a very brief one in Scripture. We're told in the Scripture he was 65 years old when he became Methuselah's father. He's a guy we've heard of. Oldest, lived longer on earth than any other human, except Jesus, of course, who's still alive. Not on earth, but still alive. In another 300 years, think about that, over 300 years after he turned 65, Enoch became the father of other sons and daughters. Can you imagine a 345-year-old guy saying, "Son, come over here, I have a question. I want to tell you something." 300 years. And as the text tells us, Genesis 5 tells us a story about Enoch walked with God. It doesn't really explain a lot of detail what that means. we would say in our own language, in our own terms, he was a godly man. That's part of what it means to walk with God. And we're told that he is incredibly unique in the pages of history, in the pages of the Bible. He went to be with God without experiencing death. Interesting. Interesting story. Same thing happened much later with Elijah. The only two examples that I recall. I can tell you honestly, Enoch was a happy father. Enjoyed it for many, many years, being a father. Noah was a good and happy father. Listening to God, obeying him, saving his family and all of humanity. Some days we almost moan at how bad the world is becoming and the difficulties that we're facing. And you know, if we get a chance to ever say that to Noah, he's going to probably say, "You haven't seen nothing yet." The world had become so evil and so sinful that God, out of his mercy, saved Noah and his family and destroyed the rest, the whole world. And Noah, he's going to have some amazing stories to tell us when we see him in heaven. How difficult it must have been to stand firm and to be a man of God and to do what's right when literally the whole world has fallen into deep, dark despair and evil. Wow. And we know he saved his sons along with their wives to replant the seeds of humanity on the world. He made a few mistakes. As a matter of fact, we'll talk more about that. Other people on this list have made mistakes. As somebody said earlier, you know, I've not been a perfect father. I echo that. Especially on Father's Day, I think back to some mistakes I wish I could do over. But I can't. But God doesn't expect us to be perfect if we are obeying him, following him, serving him, loving him, and leading others, our families, in the same. They had some problems, as I said. They worked through them. They, Noah and his family, lived long, fruitful, happy lives. We've heard the phrase, a whole new world. Noah and his family knew that. They built a whole new world obeying God. Abraham's story is quite familiar to us, and in fact, the largest section of our Bible reading this morning is about different events in Abraham's story. How he and Sarah weren't sure they'd ever be parents, but they continued to believe. They were great parents, not only of little Isaac in their old age, but became parents of a nation, a whole nation. I once read, whenever I read this, about they would be as numerous as sand on the seashore. I remember back, I looked up somehow online a story about somebody who figured out how much sand was on the beach in a volleyball court, approximately the size from me to the door and maybe a little past the first chairs. And the number was, I don't know how many zeros were on that number. It was huge. The number was like that long. You had to put several pages together to see how many grains of sand were in one volleyball court. And Abraham was the father of a nation way more than that. He was a happy father. Even though he raised just one little boy, he actually had another son with another lady. We know a little bit about that story. Abraham deserves our respect for lots of reasons, and one of them is he was willing to obey God in the hardest task a father could ever face. God said, sacrifice your son. He went there with the wood, with the fire, with the knife, and he was ready to obey God. Just this week, I was at Post 7, and it fit into the context where I said to the prisoners there in Post 7, you know what? I like you guys. I really do. I like all of you here. And I think I dare even say that if it came to that, if the circumstances came to it, I would give my life for you, as I would for my wife and for you. But I said, I have some learning to do yet, because I don't think I could ever give my son. And it made a powerful point. That's what God's love was. He gave us his one and only son. And I hope I never have to find out about that anymore. But that's how much God loves us. Abraham knew that kind of love. Of course, he was very grateful when God told him to, and then especially when God stopped him from that sacrifice. But notice, did you notice the text, what it says about Abraham? He reasoned, well, this is God. If he asked me to kill my son, he'll raise him to life again. He had an eternal kind of faith, faith in eternity. Isaac was a happy father with a couple of problem children. A lesson for any others who might have some problem children. He blessed his sons and their future despite all the problems, despite all the hassles, despite all the grief that they gave their father and their mother. Jacob blessed his grandchildren as he was dying, each sharing a lifetime of happiness with future generations. Joseph was inspired to predict the future of God's people, his life filled with happiness as a son, as a brother, as a politician, even as a prisoner, and even as a slave. God used him in amazing, powerful ways, and he was a happy father. Amram, you didn't see his name in the reading, did you? He's really just mentioned as Moses' father, Moses' parents. Amram was not very famous in the Bible. I had to study to look up his name. With his wife, they saw their son was no ordinary child. They protected him from extraordinary danger. We sometimes read Bible stories and just think they're just Bible stories. The danger from the king of Egypt, from the authority, the administration of one of the most powerful empires that has ever been known on the face of the earth, they stood up through faith in God. They stood up against that and protected their son. Moses himself became a happy father, partly by rejecting his adoptive family, the royalty of Egypt, and, as the scripture says, the pleasures of sin for a short time. He worked through some of the greatest turmoil that his nation ever faced, greater than most nations ever face. And by his actions, he set down some of the greatest and best traditions of God's people, the law of God. Not always seen favorably in our culture, but it has been a stalwart for thousands of generations, laid down by Moses, by God through Moses. The people who followed him are set down as happy fathers and mothers. The whole nation who had the trust to walk into what seemed like certain death in the Red Sea, but God said, I'll take care of it. They went. They were saved. As the text tells us, not so good for the Egyptians who tried it, because God hadn't promised to protect them. The following generation were counted as happy and successful parents for prevailing against the walls of Jericho. I love that story, walking around and playing your trumpet, and the walls came tumbling down. We shouldn't minimize it, though. Those walls were awesome, powerful walls. Armies had tried and failed to break down those walls. But God did it through the praising of his people. The prostitute Rahab was counted as a happy parent for choosing the correct side in a difficult situation. And I smiled when Charlie read the part. He says, I don't even have time to tell you because it's such a long reading. And yet, how long would it be if we told the whole story of Gideon facing insurmountable odds and fighting for what's right? Barak facing a huge and fierce army based on the word of the Lord spoken by Deborah. How about Jephthah, the illegitimate son, rejected by his family and ridiculed and outcast by his family? And then they came back to him and said, Jephthah, would you save us? Had to be very strong, very, very trusting to save the people who had thrown you out on your ear. Save them from the Ammonites and other devious enemies. Very interesting story in Judges 11 and 12. All these happy fathers fought fearsome battles in the name of the Lord for God's kingdom. We know David's story quite well. It's very familiar, from killing bears and lions and killing a giant in the name of the Lord. Ruling God's people with wisdom, writing poems and songs. We have 150 songs, actually more in other texts, that he wrote in praise to God and leading their worship among his people. He made some mistakes, we know those too. But he repented of his sins and generally lived as a very happy father. Even though he had troubled kids too, didn't he? One of them tried to kill him, tried to take over his kingdom. Okay? And we're sneaking up here on a powerful point. But Samuel's life, pretty well known too. From his childhood service in the temple of God to his later condemnation of King Saul's disobedience and his subsequent anointing David as king of Israel. All these fathers and some mothers lived in very different times from ours. They did a wide variety of things. According to our passage, verses 33 through 34, I think it's up here. They conquered kingdoms, administered justice, they gained what was promised. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became powerful in battle. The passage goes on to explain about other happy people. And we read it before, but it's worth repeating here quickly. These stories are very vivid. Difficult times. Says verses, beginning at verse 35. If I find the right page, that would be good. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes and in the ground. Now, I hope you're thinking, what about that description? Is it still up there? Yeah. What about that description is happy? But maybe it comes out clearer in the very next verse. Verse 39 says, these were all commended for their faith. That's happy. To have faith even in difficult times, even in terrible times. They were commended for their faith, yet none of them received what God had been promised. And here's a really happy part. Verse 40 says, God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. I hope you see what that means. Faith in God makes you a truly happy person no matter what comes your way. God hasn't asked most of us to do anything like that. Some of you, some veterans, some of who've seen combat, some who've seen other very huge difficulties, some of us have seen some difficulties. Most of us have not. But good times or bad, easy times or hard, faith in God can make us truly happy fathers and truly happy mothers and truly happy people. Happy people don't just go around with a big smile on their face, grinning all the time, looking silly. They're happy because they have faith in God and they know that they are in God's hands. No matter what, God won't let them go. This, as I said, is a fascinating overview of many pages of Old Testament history. I would encourage you to look up some of these stories. Put a bookmark in Hebrews 11 and then find the Old Testament stories, because they are really interesting and they are really important in many ways. I'm sure you've noticed that I've constantly referred to these people as happy fathers and mothers and others. They were truly happy, even though they were facing troubles and challenges most of us can hardly imagine. Some of them lived in the most difficult times their people had ever experienced. I pray none of us will have to do that. We think back. We've got Liberation Day coming. The people of Guam, some people 70 years ago at this moment, were experiencing huge difficulty. And I pray that they too were happy people maintaining faith in God. How can I say they were happy? I emphasize again. What about Abraham being asked to sacrifice his long-awaited only son? What about Moses' parents having to save their son from a murdering, oppressing king? Gideon's doubts and tests and fears. David's adultery and murder. Jephthah's expulsion from his family and nation, and then being asked to save them. Many other difficult and trying times. These Old Testament stories can help us know that God never fails. Even when things get tough. Especially when things get tough. Are all these things the things that make people happy? The world would answer these questions differently because they do not see the whole picture. Sometimes we don't look for the whole picture. God's word helps us see the truth. As I said in verse 39, these people were all commended for their faith. These happy fathers didn't just walk around with a grin on their face and some shallow sort of happiness. Sometimes they were sad. Sometimes they were angry and disappointed. They had every kind of feeling any of us have ever experienced. They were men and women of faith. And this is what makes people truly happy. To live in a way that receives the commendation from the throne of the universe, from Almighty God. When I now wish you, dads, a happy Father's Day, I'm wishing you a life of faith. If you want to truly be a truly happy father, you will reassess your faith, your faith life. You will be and act as a man of faith. You will build up your own faith and the faith of your family. You will look to the reality of life and the priorities that are most important, living in faith and obedience to God. This will give us a happy Father's Day every day, all year long, something better for us than for these people of faith. What is that? We know the name of our Savior. We know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They never heard his name. That's a joy we get to experience that they didn't. That's the something more that the text is telling about. We have something that none of them had. They were commended by God for their faith. They knew somebody was going to come and solve all these problems. We know it was Jesus. We get to follow him, love him, serve him, share about him. We have a greater blessing than they. Being a father is a great blessing and joy. Being men and women of faith in Jesus Christ and being children of faith in Jesus Christ makes us truly happy each and every day of our lives, no matter what God has in store for us. People of God, men of God, be faithful and you will be happy. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your word. Even in a way as we've done today where we see a summary of many, many, many stories in your word. Thank you that we can see the bottom line. Thank you that we can see that Jesus is a tremendous blessing. Following him no matter what comes our way can truly make us happy. Lord, thank you. Thank you for Father's Day and thank you for all these fathers. Thank you for Mother's Day last month and godly mothers, and thank you for godly children who will walk in the ways their moms and dads guide them in. Lord, we thank you for this church. We ask that you help us to share your word, be filled with your spirit, be amazing to others around us that we obey you and love you and serve you. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.